Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. Today we have a guest. Now, we haven't had a guest for a little while because I got busy and things happened, but we've got a guest today, and this you're going to love. You're going to love Angie. I've got her on my phone as Angie the Artist. Now, Angie is just amazing. She does some amazing work. You'll be able to catch it on her website. I'll have that down at the bottom on this. But I'll just give you a quick short bio of Angie's before I introduce her. So Angie has been crafting a lifelong, fully self-employed, artistic and creative way of being in the world. Now, I know that that's not easy to create self-employed, artistic way of being because it's really, really challenging for an artist. But Angie's mission is to inspire people to embrace creative living in order to thrive and live a life of purpose and meaning. Now, isn't that in line with our intuition? And obviously hers is screaming out to her to be creative. So with no further ado, is that what they say? I am going to introduce you to Angie Follansbeen Hall. I think I got that name right.
And you yes, did.
Angie, because I have got a bit of a head cold, so the words are coming out funny. But welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
It's so exciting. Okay, so first of all, I want to, because it's a show about intuition, and I know creativity is so close to it, because the intuition is actually what helps us with our imagination and how we can be creative. So I want people to know a little bit about your backstory and about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Oh, where to begin? So I usually begin at the very beginning, and I like to tell people that I was actually born in Sicily. I live in Vermont in the USA, and my dad's family has been here for hundreds of years, but he met my mother in the Navy, and they were married in Sicily, and all her family is still in Sicily. And then they had me, and they stayed until I was about 18 months. And then my dad left the Navy and he came back home. So I always like to say that my creativity started when I was born, because I kind of have always had these two continents in my background and in my mind. And my parents will tell me that even from a very young age, I was very artistic and creative, and I used to draw on absolutely everything. And I really don't remember a time when I wasn't making something or drawing or painting or creating or doing some kind of craft project. And I actually probably owe it to my mom a lot for that, because she was a seamstress, but she's also very intuitively creative, you know, doesn't have any training in the arts per se, but everything she does is very artistic. And I grew up with that. She used to actually, she made like little teddy bears and dolls, and she used to sell them at craft shows. And I used to go with her and help. Yeah. And so I think it set the stage for me envisioning that this was a possibility, that I could do this too, because mom was doing it. So so from an early age, I was playing with that stuff. And then I just sort of fell in the art path. It was my favorite class in school. And I just kept taking art classes. And I thought, oh, I think I'll study this in college. And so that was the path that was for me. So I really haven't known any other way of being.
Okay, because I did a lot of craft. Like we did it too at home, and my mum was a seamstress as well. So we did a lot of that sort of thing. So I was always involved in all the crafts and you know, how to crochet and knit and all the rest of it. But I never had that much of a strong yearning to go that way, and yet it was always there. I always used it as not so much as a business, but I tended to use it more as a way of chilling out, a way of just feeling like I was achieving something, but in a relaxed and a nice environment or a nice setting. So we can use it in so many different ways, but you've used it as a business, which I reckon is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, I don't know any other way. It's the only way I know how to be in the world. I mean, I also, I teach yoga, and it's interesting you talk about creativity, like making you feel more calm. And I think absolutely, like I know from, because I practice yoga and meditation, that when I am really creative, I'm in that same headspace. Like the thoughts, they kind of settle down. My thinking mind settles down, and it's the same space for me. So I do think that it has that capability for people to help calm them down and to just slow the thinking mind. And then they can just be really present. That's the real gift of creativity, is it helps you to be really present.
Okay, I'm going to ask about the elephant in the room, because as we were talking earlier, and I have started painting. It's been a yearning of mine for a long, long time, and I always felt like I had to wait until I was sort of semi-retired or getting to the stage where I actually could give myself that time and space because of kids and all the rest. What I did do when I did have the kids, I would always create stuff, but I was creating things that were more suitable for the children. So I'd be sewing, I'd sew clothes for them or different things like that. However, now the whole thing has flipped, and it's like I can do things for me. And I actually find that in some ways quite challenging. Mm. So as I was saying earlier to Angie, I've done a bit of painting, but I brought myself this huge big canvas, and it's huge for me. It's like, wow, it's so in your face. And I want to actually paint an abstract for my lounge room. So I want to get the colours right and things like that. Gone through, I've got the colours, and I'm sure I'm like a lot of people there. We've got everything in front of us. We don't know how to start. Now, I'm not asking you in a manner of like the technical way, like, you know, how to actually create the painting. I guess I'm asking you more as a motivational, a creative way. How can we do that? Because you were just saying that if we give ourselves that right space, and I can do that through meditation and things like that, if we get ourselves into that right space, we can then go forward. So how do you do that in your creative space? Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I understood exactly the spot you're talking about, where you're like afraid to like make the first mark is really what it is. And I like to tell people, you know what? You just got to put something on there. It almost doesn't even matter what it is. You have to make that first mark, and then you decide, wait, does that mark, do I need another mark? Or maybe I need to back off on that mark. I like to put something down, you know, just get some kind of, we call it a ground in yoga, like either whether it's like one block of color or a few marks, and you shouldn't even really think about it. Just like going at it, put something there, and then it gives you something to play off. And I think we really get, you know, I do think creativity allows us to shift into that space where our thoughts settle, but sometimes we have to work a little bit to get to that place. And I get there pretty quickly because I've been doing this my whole life. And I know for people who are newer to the practice that it's not easy. It's like coming to anything you do the first time. It's not going to be simple the first time you do it. You're like, what am I doing? I don't even know what I'm doing. So just putting something on a blank canvas is a start, and it almost doesn't matter what it is. And then it just starts to propel you forward. And in my own art making, I mean, I'm a handmade paper artist. So honestly, I don't even start with a blank piece of paper. I don't even start with paper. I start with nothing, and I have to make that.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
So look, when you're talking, it's really, I just love it because it's so similar to intuition and what I say about intuition. So basically I'm talking the talk and not walking the walk because I say that's what it's about. To start your intuition, just ask. You're saying just put that first piece of paint on that canvas, and I'm saying just ask. We don't know what we're going to get back. You don't know how you're going to get back. You don't know how you're going to receive it. And the same is with painting. We're going to put that paint on. We don't know what it's going to turn out like necessarily. You might, but I won't. but we've just got to keep on working at it and keep going until it starts to feel good and we get what we want out of it. So the alignment of creativity and intuition is so, so similar.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know how to be creative and not be intuitive. It's how I am creative is I'm always like checking back in with myself and saying, okay, does this feel right? Is this where I think this should be going? And I really have to feel it in my body. You know, for me, intuition is a felt sense. Like I feel it deep in kind of my visceral spaces, like my belly, my heart. That's where I feel if something is working or not, especially creatively. So I'm not a planner. Like I don't have a big plan or a vision for anything that I make creatively. I really literally just start throwing stuff down and then reacting to it. You know, I'll put something down and go, oh, let me step back and look. Okay, yep, I can work with that and push a little more into it. Or, yeah, I don't like that so much. Either I pull it off or I put it back on or I move it a little or I put something on top of it. So I'm constantly checking back in with myself and saying, I'm really, I ask myself, does this feel right? So to me, the two are so intimately linked. So I love the title of your podcast because I absolutely feel like creativity is an intuitive process.
Oh, absolutely. All right. So if we wanted to help somebody, so say somebody wants to start to develop their intuition or sort of connect with it a little bit more or get a bit more of a clearer understanding of it, and they wanted to do that through craft or through art or like we're talking about painting, would painting or drawing, I know one of the areas that I've spoken about is automatic writing too, because that's sort of the same principle, but you're actually writing. I know they do automatic drawing, but when you're talking to somebody who's just learning about intuition, that can be a little bit challenging. You know, like it's like, oh, that's too hard, I can't do that. But is there something that they can do where they can just start? Like watercolor, well, watercolors are a bit challenging, aren't they? But something that where they can start, and then they learn to understand what that feeling is. Because you're saying you put the paint on, you check with yourself, which is like I said, similar to the intuition. You check with yourself and go, does that feel right? You're learning to acknowledge that feeling. How can somebody who's not done art or anything else, or want to start something? What's the best form of art or craft or creative activity that they could do to learn what that feeling is about? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question, too. It's a great question. So I do have a few things that I do with students. As I actually teach creative process as workshops, and I love a couple of techniques. I love collage and found object. And one activity that I love to do in my creativity workshops is to ask people to just look around their house and gather five items, just whatever five items you're drawn to. And I like it if it's in your home because you're probably attached and they're in your home for some very specific reason. So just gather the items and put them together in some way. And then give it a title. And I think the titling is a really important thing because then it starts to get you thinking about what it is, why you put it together, and what does it mean. And I've done this several times, actually quite recently in some online workshops. And it's amazing the response people get. It like loosens them up. It opens them up. And I think as they're choosing the objects, right? I mean, they're using their intuition. They're just like, they don't have any reason mentally or logically. They're just like, oh, that seems right. I'm going to pick that thing. And then you have to put it together. I think it's a great, like, simple activity. And I think if people could do it daily, what a great practice, right? If you really wanted to, like, boost your creative thinking skills, that's a wonderful way. And collage is kind of the same way, you know, just ripping out images or words or whatever it is and gluing them down or arranging them, looking, and then gluing before, you know, they're stuck to the sheet is another really great way to just start to get your mind thinking about visuals and maybe the reason behind grouping certain visual items. And that can be a way to maybe access more traditional art things like painting, watercolor, whatever, you know, carving, whatnot.
Oh, I love that idea. So when you're gathering those like five items, when you're doing your workshops and you're gathering those five items, by the way, I have put, oh, hang on, I will just put in where you can check it out, which is www.angiefollinsbhall.com. I will spell that out. It's A-N-G-I-E-F-O-L-L-E-N-S-B-E-E-H-A-L-L. com. Just for the podcast, because I can't see the little ticker going down at the bottom. So when you're doing those workshops, so you've gathered these five pieces of significance and used your intuition to do that. You've displayed them, you put them into a certain display. Do you take a photo or do you do something with that? What, how do you do your workshops with that?
Yeah, you know, I don't usually ask people to take a photo, but that could be a wonderful practice too, especially if you were doing it as like a daily practice. You could snap a photo and then just kind of look through and scan through. Oh, I wonder what I started with, especially if you did it for like a month. And then where did you end up at the end of the month? Are you thinking differently?
Yeah, and how it looks, like how you've progressed and how you're putting those things together. And because, like you say, you're doing it intuitively. It's got to feel good. If it doesn't feel right, it's obviously not working quite right. I know when I'm doing things, I used to play the guitar for a little while. I could tell you when the guitar was out of tune, but I couldn't tell you when it was in tune. When I'm trying to tune it, I couldn't tell you when it was in tune, but I could always tell you when it was out of tune. And I know that sounds strange. Hmm. But, yeah, and I can look at a painting and go, no, there's something not right as far as I'm concerned in that, but I don't know what it is.
Right, yeah.
Same with cooking. I can go, man, it doesn't taste right, but I don't know what's wrong there. And this is where we can start to fine-tune ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think that's where we start to step into skill, right? So the more you practice something, the more skilled you get at it. So if you – and I know that people throw around that like 10,000 hours idea that you have to get really masterful at something. You should do it for 10,000 hours. And I think it could be more or less. I'm not sure I'm married to that number, but the more you do something, the more skilled you get at it. You do start to learn things. So you might go, oh, I was here before. And I remember when I was in that spot with this painting and I applied this technique or color, it fixed something. And so the more you build that up over time, you can have that reaction. Yeah, I think it's really just a matter of practice. It has to be a practice. Like, I think it's creative practice. That means we do it all the time. And the other thing I like to say, it's a practice and not a perfect, right? We do it, we make mistakes, we try again. It's not about getting it perfect.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, art and anything like that is the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So what we see as perfect and what somebody else sees as perfect is two different things. So,
absolutely, yeah. And usually we're harder on ourselves than other people are on us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, I'm going to have a quick look at your bio because you've got a lot of things on here. So you've done your like the official study. So you've done your BFA in studio art, but you're also a Reiki master and a traditional herbalist.
Yeah.
And if you're a lifestyle practitioner, whoa, you have got some things going behind you.
Yeah, sometimes I like to say, like I joke about this with other people I work with too, that we like to collect certificates. Yeah. And I definitely fall in that category. You know, and it's just hard when you have so many interests and you want to learn about things that it just becomes easy to. And I've actually tried to put the brakes on recently, like, okay, that's enough. You have enough of a collection here. So. But yeah, you know, I love holistic healing. And so that's definitely a strong interest of mine because I think creativity is a healing practice. And I actually don't think, I kind of think it's woven through, I mean, for me, it's woven throughout my entire life. Like I can't do anything without having some aspect of it being a creative thought. But I think that accessing those modalities like herbalism, and the Reiki and Ayurvedic lifestyle counseling and the yoga, they are all connected. Like I believe that what's fueling all of those things is the same thing that fuels creativity.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And it's a matter of, because I've got a lovely little collection of certificates as well. I've been there, done the same sort of thing. But it's almost part of us understanding what we like and how we want to go ahead and ways we want to do it. So, you know, there's no right. Like I did a 3-year uni degree and 6 months after I finished my degree, the government changed hands and they took away all the jobs. And because it was in the public health sector, I had nothing. I had $30,000 bill and no job to go to. So But I wouldn't change it for the world. I loved doing the uni degree. I love the learning. I love the understanding to it. Yes, I would have been happy to get a bit of money back from it so I could pay my bill. But but that's, I just think that that's part of our learning and that's part of our growing and our developing. I needed that to be able to take this step forward, to be confident enough to look at the, I guess, the IT behind creating a podcast and doing all that. I did a certificate for in training so I can create these, the workshops that I've got and make sure that when I'm creating them, the people get the learning, they get the understanding. The online courses have everything to cover up on everyone's learning skills. And it's, yeah, it's gathering that information. That's what the certificates are for us. But in all honesty, we really are just giving ourselves each time, aren't we? We're tapping into our intuition, our creativity, and we're still doing the same thing that we were doing. We're just doing it on a different aspect, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah, yeah. It's just like another facet of yourself, right? Like a little bit facets of a diamond. Like you just got to explore that corner over here a little bit, a little more fully. And the certificate, what's nice about those certificates is it's structured, right? Like I can open a book and read it, but I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm all over the place when I'm trying to learn it on my own. And the certificates like give you a structure and that's kind of nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a bit into structure. I do like that. It does sort of keep me in track because, yes, we do get, with creativity and your intuition, you do just sort of go, woohoo, off you go.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm not the engine, you know? So, yes, I understand that reeling you in. There was something else I just wanted to ask you too. I can't remember what it was. Oh, you've done a couple of books. No, there was something else I was going to ask you. Oh, damn, it's gone. Tell me, talk to me, give me
Yeah, no, I you know, for me the creative process, again, it's a really healing process. It's like a self-reflection and it's a learning process. It's something that we have to come to pretty regularly. I think it's just like you know, I often reflect it back to yoga. Like I say to people, if you want to learn, I don't know, something like a handstand or something, right? You can't just do it once and be like, oh, I can't do it and give up, right? It's or anything physically, if you want to run a marathon, you can't be like, oh, I tried it once that one day and I couldn't do it. You have to practice for it. You have to build up for it. And I really think creativity is the same way.
Yeah, I remember what it was. I was going to ask you about your workshops. Now, because this is an international podcast, we can talk about your local workshops, which is fine, but I don't know whether that's going to help you. But I'd love to hear more about your online workshops.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, recently I ran a few online workshops where I talked about creativity and restoring the muse, right? So how do we restore the muse? Like what are those things that we do that help us tap into our creative selves? And it is an intuitive process. And so so in those workshops, I did the things like the found object sculptures and the collage, that sort of thing. And I do workshops. I've done workshops with collage online. I call it a soul journey collage. And that is a very intuitive process. I kind of guide people into sort of a dream space. So we sort of dream visualize sort of walking out somewhere and noticing what we see. And then we come back and then we access our collage from that space so that we're building up the image based on sort of this imaginal space that I've guided people into. And it's really amazing sometimes what comes through from that. And it's very freeing. I think collage is one of those things that's really freeing for people. You know, people will be like, oh, I don't know what to paint or I can't draw a line. But that is all taken away with a collage workshop. And it lends itself well to an online environment.
Absolutely. Well, see, that's where I found it really fascinating because I didn't know how that would go as an online. But, yeah, obviously it works really well.
Yeah.
And I love how you guide them too. I'm doing workshops at the moment with I call it intuitive drawings. And it's like the sip and paint area. But it's the drawings, and I put down there, this is not an art lesson, this because basically it's an intuitive drawing. But the difference with mine is my point of interest or point of difference is that they actually get a reading about their drawing because their intuition is putting it all in. And that's why I was asking you about putting together, when you were doing your workshops and you took a photo of those, like, items together, you could actually do a reading on that, intuitive reading on that. because you've got shapes, you've got colors, you've got different things that you could look at and sort of go, well, this is where your intuition is going. So with mine, it's like a planting the happiness seed and into your heart, and then it with the guided part, and then you develop this flower, draw the flower, do the reading. So yeah, it's really interesting how we can really tap into those different things. So they're not only tapping into their intuition, they're tapping into their creativity, and they're starting to sort of relax and chill out and have a good time. And but in the same token with mine, they're starting to see where their intuition is trying to guide them by doing this particular drawing. So it's really, really interesting to see. I just love it. How can they, I mean, I've got your website up. How can they connect with you regarding doing a workshop? Where would that information be?
Yeah, definitely the website is a great place for that information. That's probably where I update things most frequently. I also, I have an Instagram page, which is Angie Fallhall, or at Angie Fallhall, F-O-L-L-H-A-L-L. And I post, I'll share workshops that I'm doing there. And often I share my art. That's the most common thing I share on the Instagram. And then for events, often on Facebook. So if they follow me on Facebook, that's often where my events will get shared a little more frequently if I'm hosting them. And again, that's also at my name. It's pretty easy to find me if you got my name. And I have a Facebook page there where I'll post events.
Terrific. That's great. Thank you for that. And yeah, you're a bit like me. I do sometimes struggle to update all the things that we have to update, but you find them along the way, don't you?
Right, right.
All right. So one more. Let me have a quick look on this. Creative is like a muscle. We strengthen it over time. Give me a little bit more on that.
Yeah, I do think it's something you have to practice regularly. I really don't think it's any different than anything else in life. And so, again, just finding a ways to making it like a daily practice. I actually think one of the best ways to strengthen that over time is to have a journal. And I preferably like a blank journal, but whatever kind of journal appeals to somebody. Again, I think their personal intuition is really important in that. A dot journal or a lined journal is fine. But some kind of space that's just for you. Like, it's not something you necessarily have to show to people, but it's something you come back to over and over again, and you can sketch in it, you could write in it, you could collage in it, even just simple as like a glue stick or something, gluing things in it. But it's just like your reflective space. I actually think it is not only a creative space, but it is an intuitive space. So I highly, highly recommend people getting some kind of blank journal and having like a daily journal practice of some kind. So they're in that space on a regular basis. And that in and of itself, you know what it can do? Like you were saying, you're afraid to like put a mark on that blank canvas, but having like that really regular journal practice, especially if it's a painting journal, helps to free that up. Like it helps to give you that experience with making those marks so that you can transfer them to something scary like a canvas.
So how often would they do that? Like say that every morning for 10 minutes or, you know, yeah. They need to have that structure, that routine, a bit like me, you need to have a routine.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I always say you have to find a way that it works for you. That's the most important thing. So if you know that you're a morning person and that you have time where maybe you're drinking your coffee or whatever, tea in the morning, and you know you'll be sitting for 5 minutes, then maybe that's the time. But if you know, really, I don't have time, I'm out the door, but at night, before bed, I have time. So I would say whatever feels like the right time is definitely the time you want to do it. But being consistent is important. And I'm always telling my students, don't overshoot. Like, go for 5 minutes.
Yes.
Don't go for 20 minutes and then be like, oh, I can't do it. If you, you know, if you can't do 5 minutes, do 3 minutes. Do the shortest amount you can absolutely commit to. And then you're making it a regular practice. Hey, and you might be there for 20 minutes, but you definitely did the five.
Yeah, absolutely. And the same with meditation. And because, well, I look at journaling also as more of a, it's an active meditation because, you know, that's what you're sort of doing. You're going into that space, like you said, and you're journaling and you're writing things down. But what I liked about what you've said is getting a blank one, you're not necessarily writing. I've always looked at journaling as writing, like I'm going to write some stuff down. But it doesn't have to be. It can be drawing, can't it? It can be, absolutely. Like you say, the collage.
Yeah, you can paint in it, like a tiny little watercolor set. You might be nice to use in there. Collage. I like to have a glue stick and a little bag with like string and whatever, like bits of paper or something that I find, and just like glue them in there. Yeah, I think gluing things is a lot more fun. But yeah, anything goes. You know, I also stitch paper. I like hand stitch it with a needle and a thread. Why not do it in a journal? You know.
Yeah, because you make your own paper, don't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. I make my own paper, so I mean, I'm pretty adventurous with my paper. People see the work I do, and they go, "Oh my gosh, this is paper." Yeah, it's paper. I stitch in it. I run it through a sewing machine. I put different materials like gessos and paints, and I attach cloth and linen and all kinds of things to my paper to really build up the surface. Sometimes I call it archaeology in reverse. So yeah, to me, the more texture to put in your journal, that's the fun stuff.
It wouldn't close, would it?
No, it probably won't, but I love that. I love a book that's like bulky and it's got stuff sticking out of it. Those are the books I love the most.
And I love the idea of the paint, doing your own paper. I did that when I was on the farm. I had a 90-acre organic crop farm, and, one of the things that I did, we made our own soap and we made our own paper, and it was such fun. I had one Christmas with the kids. They were only young, and we did, everything was homemade. We didn't bring out a single, we had a gum tree as our tree, our Christmas tree. We didn't use the artificial one or anything. We had a gum tree because we could cut that out of the bush. And everything we decorated on it, we handmade. So we baked some stuff and we, you know, threaded stuff and made paper. And we made these little paper cards. And I remember doing that. It was so, not only was it creative, but it was so enjoyable to do it with the children. You know, it was something that they had never done. And kids nowadays, they're on their phone all the time anyway. So they don't have an understanding of how paper is made. These genuine old tricks or craft that is just sort of lost in the younger generation. It's lovely to be able to show them this sort of stuff and how creative you can be with it.
Yeah, and it gets them just using their hands in a way that they're not, and really their whole body. And I love it because it's getting them splashing in the water and kind of making a mess. It's really a great thing to do with kids, but it's really, as you were saying, it was so joyful. I think it's really freeing for adults as well, because like collage and like the found object sculpture, you don't worry about, you know, having it to look like something. It doesn't have to look like a person or an object or whatnot. You know, you're just getting in there and you're making this thing, and then you feel like you accomplished something. Like, oh, I made this little sheet of paper. That's amazing. And so there's a reward. There's a high reward factor when you're making something from hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then to give it away too, and sort of gift it on and go, well, we made this. So all that energy, all that positive energy as well is going into it. So it is, it's a really lovely. You're right, it's very freeing. It is very freeing. You start to sort of look at it differently. We had paper bark in all ours too, because we've got the Australian paper bark. So you rip the bark off and you strip it down and you pop it all through it, and it just looks amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. I love to see that. That is so cool. I don't know what that, I don't know that tree.
Next time I'll get some, a piece out for you, but it's almost like, it almost is like paper all joined together. It makes the bark, mm-hmm. and you can strip it off and it's just the slightly different colors and different textures, and it's just, it feels like paper. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah. Really, oh yeah, definitely have to
see. Sounds amazing. It sounds amazing.
But, all right, Angie, that was really good. I really enjoyed that. So the next step, so you think, for me, for our listeners, the best thing to do first up is go and grab a journal, a blank scrapbook, you know, whatever it is. If you've got one of the kids' scrapbooks or whatever, grab a scrapbook and start to do that. 5 minutes a day, if that's all you can do, you know, just commit to it, because it's the behavior of committing to it that needs to be done more than anything else.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I'm probably more at my best in the mornings as far as logically thinking, but evenings, I know I sit there sometimes, we've got the TV going, and all I want to do is draw or paint, But I can't do that on my lap in the lounge room because I know what will happen. But that's, you know, that's a really nice time to just allow that flow to happen, to allow that creativity. So I get my watercolor pencils out and I just start to draw with that. And I know I don't make too much mess with that one. So I can do that in the lounge room. But yeah, it's a lovely way of just getting us started. So a scrapbook, I'm going to do that. Grab a scrapbook and we start. And yeah, I'd love to see it. So if you want to connect with Angie on her on the Facebook or even on I've got the Facebook, put it on Intuitive Personal Development. If you do a scrapbook or something like that or an image, pop it on there for me and I'd love to see it. That'd be really good.
That'd be really fun. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Any last things? Anything coming up, Angie? Any workshops coming up that we need to be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, I have workshops in person. And here in Vermont, you know, we're finally moving back to in-person things, which is kind of amazing and really exciting for us here. I do have paper making workshops this summer and in New Hampshire and in Vermont. And I have some creativity workshops in the fall as well. But I don't have as much online. I just did a whole ton of online stuff. But I'm constantly doing things online, and it's such a great way for people from all over the world to be able to access that. So things will be coming up. So the best way to stay in touch with that is to definitely go to the website. I do have an email list too, and I definitely share things on the email list, and you can access that at the website.
Oh, that'd be perfect. So they could fill in the contact form, at least get their name down, and then they know what's happening and where it's coming up. Because, it's the sort of thing too, if you get it enough people interested in it, it makes it worthwhile, and you can pop one up and do it. But, sometimes we just need to have that interest in it to keep us going, don't we?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, well, that's it. Thank you so much, Angie. Again, we'll run through your website, which is Angie, AngieFollensbHall. So AngieFollensbHall.com. So you'll be able to get everything there and see what you've got happening and see what's going. Thank you so much. Everyone run out and grab a scrapbook now or a plain journal and start journaling if you can every day just for a few minutes to start with and then build from there. That's how we get your creativity flowing. That's how we start to connect with our intuition. You'll get the feeling from that. So I love that. That's perfect.
Absolutely, yeah. I'd love to see if people do that. It would be so great to see.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for that. I am going to say goodbye. I'm going to go the other way because I pressed the wrong button. Sorry, guys. And thank you so much again for Angie. That was lovely. It's really good understanding of how we can learn to feel what our intuition is saying. And we can do it in a safe space, especially when we're doing, you know, craft or art or journaling, that sort of side to it. So we're not putting our life decisions on it. We're just learning to see what it feels like with paper in front of us or with, you know, that sort of aspect in front of us. So it's a really great way to learn what your intuition feels like, when it feels good, when it doesn't feel good. So when we know what's going on. So that was really good. Again, you can connect with us on Intuitive Personal Development. It's a Facebook group. I'm sort of pushing that forward because I feel we can get a bit more interactions here on the podcast, on the TV show, the videos, it's all me or us talking. So I'd love to be able to get some interaction with everyone. So jump onto the Intuitive Personal Development Facebook page or follow Angie on Facebook, follow The Art of Intuition on Facebook or Instagram. I'm sure you'll find us somewhere. All that subscribe stuff, you know. All right, I'm going to say bye for now. Angie's going to stay on. I'm going to have a quick chat with her after this. And I want you all to have the bestest. Oh, hang on. I've got to go to the right spot so I can press the right buttons. Have the bestest week and we'll see you next week. So bye for now.